Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, many of you have heard that when we, this past August, beginning November, we took a road trip to California. Again, a lot of people say, boy, that is a long road trip. Yes, it was. 3,000 miles each way. And some days you thought you're never going to get to the end of the road, but we got there. But on the way back, it was funny, we were talking and we spent time in prayer. I ministered out in Arizona to our sister church out there, Living Word Family Church. Powerful time, great move of God that weekend. But on the way back from California, we hit Tennessee. And for whatever reason, we were discussing the pressures. We had read an article about the pressure that was on God's people and upon pastors over the 2020 situation, you know, all of the changes that had to be made, and many were giving up and quitting and so on and so forth, depression and even on God's people. And God, and just at that moment, and Pastor G was telling me all of this stuff, and I was driving, I'm trying to be a good driver, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit me. And, you know, I got drunk, and I heard the Lord say, teach my people faith. Teach my people faith, because that's how we made it through. Amen? Amen? COVID. We made it through those times as a church and as families, and many of you came out and you entered into something greater. Amen? Amen? And we don't need to concentrate on what happened. We need to concentrate on the greater part, that we're on the other side. And he said, well, you don't know. They're going to make us wear a mask again and all this kind of, yeah, they're going to keep talking. They're going to try to control. They're going to try all this kind of stuff. But listen, we are the people of God.
Right.
Amen? We are the ones that have the victory. And that's why I believe the Lord specified to teach my people faith. Well, anyway, we didn't get too many miles driven that day because just, you know, the Holy Spirit did a number on me. And ever, you know, some of you might not know what being drunk in the Spirit. How many of you know what being drunk in the natural is like, okay? All right. But the Spirit of God can come on you and just overwhelm you. That's a feeling, and you just... you get beside yourself, and some of you haven't seen me be beside myself, and hope you never do, but just kidding. Hallelujah. But I better not say that. Mark and Trent is coming, so you just never know what's going to happen. We all might be rolling on the floor. Amen. But teach my people faith. Teach my people faith. I was listening to... one of Mark's sermons the other day, and he was talking about when he was in, had his church, he had some people that were millionaires, some men, and back then they all dressed in suits and stuff, and you know, Mark was, I think he was actually at a church visiting, and him and the pastor was on the platform, and the Spirit of God began to move, and they saw these millionaires in suits rolling all over the floor. Just rolling all over the front of the floor. And Mark Hankins looked to the pastor. And, you know, Mark was talking to the Lord. And this is when they didn't have that much money or whatever in their life. And the Spirit of God said, yeah, you, I don't know how he said this to Mark, but in other words, those are millionaires rolling on the floor down there, and you're just a poor old boy. You need to get down there with them. And so he looked over to the pastors and said, you think we need to join them? Now, they had to do it by faith. They got down and started rolling in the floor and started laughing. Now, the Spirit of God wasn't on them when they decided to do that, but they decided, hey, God's moving on these millionaires, and we won't be millionaires, so we can get down and do what they were doing. Amen? So they got down in their suits and, you know what, these two preachers and started rolling in the floor. Praise God. And started, you know, laugh. You know, you can make yourself laugh. You can make yourself have joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise the Lord. We talked about last week, I think, where David said, I sacrifice the sacrifice of joy. There is a sacrifice of joy. Praise the Lord. And so I want you to be free to enter in when, you know, we come into the house of God. When the Spirit starts a moving, glory to God. Pastor Sister Lori's over there. I told Siri to play some music for me on the way. And one of the songs that they started playing, believe it or not, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. All right. Amen. Amen, all the way to church. How many of you know that song? Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet a-dancing. How many of you have ever had your feet set a-dancing? Now, a lot of you dance in the natural when you get up here, but there's a Holy Spirit dance. And I grew up in this stuff. We didn't have the word of faith. We didn't have the revelation, but we had some women that knew how to dance in the Spirit. And we had altars in front. How many of you have been to churches with altars in front? Wood altars. Well, it's like a bench. These women would get up on those altars with their eyes closed like this, and they were dancing before the Lord. They'd go to one end, and I thought sure they'd fall off. Amen? And they'd turn around and go the other side. You know, I said, no wonder they thought that Pentecostals swing from the chandeliers because of the way we acted. And I grew up in that stuff. But there was freedom in it. Amen? We need some freedom in Massachusetts. Glory to God. And in our churches, we need some freedom. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to just share a couple things with you tonight because God said, teach my people faith. Hallelujah. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And we're going to have the worship team ready at any moment to get up here. See what God's going to do in the Amplified Bible. It says, the word that God speaks is alive. The Bible, whether you have it on your phone or your PDA, whatever you have, not too many people carry real. How many of you carry a real Bible? I had mine this morning, amen? You're with me. But the real Bible. See, that book is just not a book of history and good, you know, good philosophy and so on and so forth. I had, in junior high, I think it was my, probably eighth grade, I would think, eighth or ninth grade, I had a geography, I think it was a history teacher, in fact, and he taught way above our level. He finally left mid-year and went to a junior college and began to teach, but he bragged on having read the Bible several times through. But he wasn't born again. He wasn't saved. He read it from a history book. And there is a lot of history, a lot of background. Amen. The Jewish nation, so on and so forth. Nations that is in the Word of God. But see, God said this, my word that I speak is alive. And if you have your Bible in your hand, that is a living word. Oh, praise God. Every word is powerful. It's alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and the immortal spirit and the joints and the marrow of the deepest parts of the natural, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So see, the Word of God, if you will just, on purpose, just get into the Word of God, and you might, I was telling Pastor Judy last night that we were reminiscing, you know, our pathways to having a 40-year, and I remember early on. See, we were growing up in church. We were taught Bible stories. Even the sermons that the pastor preached were David and Goliath and things like that, which is great. I mean, we knew the Bible stories, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, and so on and so forth. Like Zacchaeus was a wee little man. We sang songs like that. But what I realized that I was sitting in my car, and this is after I was called into the ministry. I can't believe I look back at this. How dumb am I? I got a call of God in my, and I remember sitting in the car. I had an appointment with another minister for counseling because I was young. I was wanting to find out how to get into the ministry, so on and so forth. And I was trying to read the book of Romans, and I couldn't understand Romans. And I grew up in church. And praise God, when I begin to hear the word and what the word is to us today, that Jesus was the word, amen, from the very beginning. And all of, how many of you have read the Bible at one time and it didn't make sense, and all of a sudden you begin to read it, and all of a sudden light began to shine forth? It jumped out at you. Man, Romans is a powerful book. Glory to God. So many good things in the book of Romans. All the writings that the Apostle Paul wrote tells us who we are in Christ, what we can do in Christ. So never take the word of God lightly. And I would encourage you to spend time listening to the word of God, reading the word of God, listening to messages. In fact, Pastor Judy and I, almost every night, I don't do it on Saturday night because I want to hear from God. As far as the messages and stuff on Sunday. But every night we go on YouTube and we put John Hagee, you have Kenneth E. Hagin, you have Dodie Osteen talking about her miracle and healing scriptures that go all night long. We loop them and they go all night long. And you say, but see, that word is alive. And I almost can tell her testimony for verbatim. She was healed of cancer in the 1980s, just had no hope at all. The doctor sent her home to die. But see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, if we allow, give God the opportunity, and they have, you know, programs that you can listen to your Bible. If you, you know, commute to work. I remember counseling a young man years ago. And I said, you know, he said, I don't have time to read the Bible. I said, how long do you drive to work? He said, 45 minutes. I said, what do you listen to, the news? I said, why don't you listen to a teaching tape? Because back then we had cassette tapes and whatever. Or, you know, they didn't have the cell phones and stuff that we have now. But, you know, the opportunity to get the word was so great even back then. Because all the cars had tape players or CD players and so on and so forth, and they can listen to the word. Why waste time listening to carnal, natural things that doesn't bring life to you when you can get the word inside of you? And like Andrew Womack says, it'll change you effortlessly. Amen? You don't have to, I mean, just the entrance of God's word, the Bible says, gives light. So all you have to do is open up your ears. Open up an opportunity, amen, to listen and hear the word of God. You might not have time. You might be a busy person to just open your Bible and read through the, you know, every year, but you can listen to it. You can, really, let me say this. There is no excuse. There is absolutely no excuse why a person cannot get that word of God. Remember, it's the word of the Lord that's alive, it's active, and it will change your life. It will heal you of your diseases. It will set you free. No matter what, it's the word of God. It's not good counseling. It's simply the word. And if you come to Pastor Judy and I for counseling, you know what we're going to give you? Not psychology, but the word. Because it's the only thing that will change your life. The only thing. All right, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 through 11. I love this. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11 says, so shall my word be. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what it is sent to accomplish, what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which it is sent. Hallelujah. And I was reading that scripture one time, and the Spirit of God spoke up and said, my word in your mouth will do the same thing. My word in your mouth will not return void, but it will accomplish whereto it is sent. That's why Jesus talked about speaking to the mountain, speaking to your problem, not speaking about your problems. How many of you know we're good at speaking about our problems? All right? We can define our problems. We can research our problems. We can Google our problems. But Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Amen? Speak to what's going on in your body. Speak to your to different parts of your body that might not be functioning right. Curse it in Jesus' name. Curse the growth in your it will obey you. It's God. Why? Because God sent his word and healed. You've already been healed 2,000 years ago. Jesus bore your sicknesses. He carried your pains, and by his stripes ye were healed. Amen? Charles Capps was a mighty man of God. He was preaching one time, and the Spirit of God came on him, and he prophesied, gave him a word. He said, my people have been saying what they have instead of saying having what they say. My people have been saying what they have. Oh, I have a headache. Oh, I have bills that I can't pay. Oh, I'm this, and oh, I'm that. And the Lord said, they need to be having what they say. Amen? That means we turn it around. We dictate to our circumstances what is to go on in our life. It'll change. What did God's word say here? It's alive and active, and here in this, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, or out of your mouth even. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, Amplified Bible. Then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. And listen, there is going to be a performance of God's word in Massachusetts, in New England, amen, on the East Coast, all over where the church is rising up, the church is decreeing, the church is calling the shots in Jesus' name. You might not see it change on the outside yet, but things are changing. Things are happening. People are getting hungry for God. Amen. Amen. So he says, I'm active. I'm alert. Jesus is alert. God is alert. The angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. Not our problems, not our situation, but the angels. We have an angelic host that's unemployed for the most part. Amen? We've got to begin to put them to work, into action. And the way we do that is by speaking God's word, because in Psalms 103, they hearken to the voice of the word of God. Anytime the word of God is spoken, whether he speaks it or you speak it, it activates. Activates the angels. You're not in your battles by yourself. You're not in your battles. Hallelujah. Not alone. The angels are sent. They're mighty in strength, the Bible says, to perform the word in our life. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to us who are heirs of salvation? Hallelujah. Pastor Judy seen an angel when we were first married, and I think she's seen one in church in Brockton. Other people have seen the angels up here dancing at different times when the worship team. And it's amazing. And I believe the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, we're going to see divinely, appearances that God wishes us to see. Amen? None of you would be afraid of an angel, would you? Hallelujah. God, I don't know if I want to see an angel. Amen. They better be nice looking. How many of you know who Kenneth Copeland is? He said God allowed him to see his angel and he looked like Mr. Clean. Hallelujah. I thought that was interesting. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at one more scripture and then the worship team can come up, get ready. Jeremiah chapter 23. I love this scripture. Verses 28 through 29. It says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell it. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. This portion of scripture is so powerful. He who has my word, we all have an opportunity. We have his word. Amen? Let him speak. Let him speak. Let me speak. Let you speak. That's what it's saying there. We are the them. Amen? Let him speak my word, not sometimes, but faithfully all the time. Amen? So what is chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Now look at this, verse 29. Is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord? And the end part of that scripture is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. A lot of us have rocks in our lives, boulders in our lives, whether oppression, sickness, disease, whatever you might call it, identify. Jesus told the disciples, speak to the mountain and it will obey you. Amen? And what do? You use God's word. Amen? And it begins to chisel that rock. Chisel that rock. You might say, well, it's not accomplishing anything. But the more you become proficient with that, you might just start out with a little ball-peen hammer. How many of you know what that is? Just a tiny little hammer. And you know, bing, bing, and you chisel, you get into, and you keep doing it, and then you get a bigger hammer, and then you get a 12-ounce hammer, and then you get a sledgehammer, and glory to God, hallelujah. Then you get a hydraulic hammer. You become proficient in using the word of God like a tool. Glory, amen. And you begin to pinpoint things. Sometimes we like a shotgun, it just, you know, scatter faith. But when we begin to hear from the Holy Ghost and begin to put the word on specifically, and that's why I said before, you need to find where it is written, whatever you're going through, whether it's financial, medical problems in your life, family situations, find the promise in the Bible and begin to use that. And as Pastor Judy has been talking about meditation, begin to meditate on it. And that means to mutter. But not only just mutter, but become bold. And this is where we lose it a lot of times. We don't feel, it doesn't feel natural to talk to things. It doesn't. Doesn't feel natural to talk to things. But Jesus said you could. And if he said you could, we can. Speak to things. Use the authority that you have as a believer. Stop talking about things. Stop talking about what the devil's doing. Amen? Start talking about the goodness of God, like the worship team sang this morning about the goodness of God. Start speaking the end result. Start declaring the things that you're believing God for at the beginning of the year. Ephesians 3:20, my God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think according to the power that's working with me. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. Everything has collapsed around me since I started. Yeah, it will. Because the devil don't want you to succeed in anything. You know, the Bible talks about shipwrecked faith. And so every time you start believing God for something and you start moving toward the things of God, we'll read Luke chapter 4. Amen. Where it says a sower sows the word. There's that Mark chapter 4. Where the sower sows the word, and the Bible says immediately the enemy comes in and steals it. And it talks about different grounds that the Word of God is sown in. So we develop that ground. Hallelujah. So the Word of God can come and grow on the inside of us. Praise the Lord. How many of you want to grow in the Word? Grow in the Word. That comes before the feelings, before anything else, the Word of God. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what God's Word says. Amen? Like the Apostle Paul said before Agrippa, nothing moves me. I'm not moved off of my faith. I'm not moved for what I believe in God for. It's mine. I have it now. I have it right now. Glory to God. Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. Stand with me tonight.